Can you believe it? It's been 53 years since Sputnik 1 went up already. 53 years. Where'd the time go?
The sad thing from my perspective is that I lived those years. And when I was a kid in the 60s, I really believed that by the turn of the century, 2000, we would have not just space stations, but colonies on the moon, and we'd be moving towards the planets with manned flight. And for me, what's frustrating and sad is how we have not quite done what I hoped we were going to do. It's been slower on the uptake than I had.
The moon's out of the picture for us now, isn't it?
That's an interesting question, George. I mean, no, I don't think quite so. I will say, though, that the American government manned space program, and I'm very particular about those words, the government manned space program that where NASA builds the rockets, spacecraft, plans the missions, and sends people off into space, that program is in disarray and is probably going to be struggling along at the whim of Russian spacecraft for maybe a decade.
Oh my.
It's going to be bad for the government program. They have, the Congress last week passed an authorization bill which outlined what they think should be done, and it was not what the Obama administration wanted. They basically are telling NASA to build the Constellation system that the Bush administration had proposed, which would involve a very powerful Saturn V type rocket, plus the Orion capsule. Of course, you can't call it the Orion or Ares rockets anymore because it's the Obama spacecraft. But It'll be essential. They're demanding that the administration build those things. But the Congress has told them to build it in less time for less money. And since there were real doubts whether the Constellation program could have been built for the money that was available and the time that was available, I'm not sure that's going to happen. So, yes, the Obama administration is required to go to the moon, is required to build that rocket. That rocket is designed to go back to the moon. In fact, the Congress specifically stated it should have the capability to go to lunar parts of space. But because of the nature of our government's incompetency these days, I have to say, both in the administration and Congress, it's going to be very difficult to get that done for the government for at least half a decade to a decade.
All right. Let me ask you something about NASA. When we went to the moon and we built the technology, created the rockets to go to the moon,
that was
under the heading of NASA. But were the companies that built the rockets and the technology, were they private companies? I mean, were they like the Lockheed Martins and the Boeings, and they just merely contracted with NASA?
There's a very different – the rockets that were built for going to the moon, specifically the Saturn V rockets, that was actually a NASA-built thing. No, NASA designed rocket. It was built, though, by private contractors. And our country was a manufacturing giant in the mid-20th century. NASA might have come up with the concepts and the mission structure, but they built almost nothing. They went and said, look, we need a rocket that could do so much. Companies bid on it. They had choices, NASA, and they picked companies to build different stages. Different companies made different stages.
Okay, that's important, Bob, because why can't these companies – whether they're public or private, non-NASA companies, why can't these companies say, all right, we're going to create a division, we're going to go commercial, and we're going to go to the moon, we're going to go to Mars, because we build these rockets anyway, we know the technology.
George, that's exactly what I think is going to happen. And it's not really relevant what NASA ends up doing. NASA, in the end, will become a customer. It needs to get astronauts to ISS to get them into space. But I think that is exactly what is going to happen. The budget, the authorization bill that Congress passed also authorized NASA to start subsidizing new companies to build rockets and capsules to provide that ferrying service to ISS. And this is not a case of NASA designing those rockets and capsules. It's a case of NASA subsidizing other companies to build those rockets and capsules for them. It's a subtle but important distinction, because it means the companies will be building their rockets and capsules for themselves to sell to other customers, not just for NASA. Now, we can see a demonstration. demonstration that's already beginning to happen despite, regardless of NASA, in that, for example, you've got the SpaceX, which has built its Falcon 1 and Falcon 9 rockets, independent of NASA. They've gotten some, the military has been a customer of SpaceX, but SpaceX has basically developed this on their own. Similarly, Boeing has its own space capsule that it is now out there marketing to the public and to NASA as a vehicle to get people up into space. Now, they haven't built it yet. They're in the process of actually spending the R&D to develop themselves to make money on it. So down the road, I think a private commercial development is going to pick up the slack here. But we are in a period of heavy transition, and we are, as a nation, going to be unable to put humans into space come the middle of next year. Now, and it'll be take a while before we make up the difference.
Just recently, they spotted what they call a planet that could be very similar to Earth. Not too hot, not too cold. What's happening in the state of planetary research, Bob, in unmanned missions?
Oh, gosh, George. I have like dozens and dozens of posts on BehindTheBlack.com about this because it's endless. Right now, in fact, for example, the 42nd meeting of the American Astronomical Society's Division of Planetary Sciences is going on this week. And for example, they had a press conference today in which they showed incredible images of taken by Cassini in orbit around Saturn, and some of the results. And I posted one of the images up on the website, which shows the glint of sunlight coming off at least one lake in the northern hemisphere of Titan. And what the scientists explained is this is actually the first definitive proof that those methane lakes in the poles of Saturn, of Titan, are actually liquid, because the kind of light, the way that light is reflecting is the kind of light you see reflecting off a lake. Of course, in this case, it's methane, but you wouldn't see that reflection unless there was actually liquid methane on Titan. And so that is a significant find, and the picture, of course, is spectacular. They showed other pictures. The rings of Saturn are almost like a liquid. It's very strange. They have they're made up of hundreds and thousands of desk size, from dust specks to desk size chunks of ice.
Yeah, they're little crystals everywhere.
They're crystals,
right?
But they can be big. They can be as big as like a file cabinet or a desk. But you'd think in that situation with all these miscellaneous particles, you'd get chaos. Instead, the nature of the gravitational field in around Saturn and its moons produces almost a coherency in their shape, and it is, as one scientist said today, it's absolutely the flattest object that we know of in the solar system. The thing is about the equivalent height of about, let's say, two-story building, but it has the length, the width of like 200 some odd thousand miles.
How did that stuff get there in the first place?
Well, you know, when Saturn was probably coalescing out of the original nebula of the solar system, you know, there's lots of debris. Why, though, in the case of Saturn, much of that debris did not coalesce into moons or fall into Saturn itself, but instead develop these rings, is actually right now a mystery. No one really understands why that happened.